Shh, they're everywhere, lurking in bookstores, sitting in the back rows of movie theaters. One of them may even be working beside you. Introverts. Whether you've never noticed them or are a member of the Table for One Club yourself, Susan Cain has spoken up for the quiet ones in a new book she's called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. It's published by Crown, and I'm very pleased that it brings Ms. Cain to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. So great to be here.
So you're a self-proclaimed introvert. What makes you an introvert?
Well, I like solitude. I love to be with my friends. I love to be with my family, but I generally prefer interacting with people kind of one-on-one or in small group settings. And then I'm a writer too, and I really love having hours a day where I sit with my laptop, maybe in a cafe, but then be able to come back to other people after that.
Is it difficult for an introvert to go out on a book tour?
You know, that's a funny question that people have been asking me, and it's kind of yes and no.
Well, you got to be a bit gregarious to promote your book. You got to be.
Well, you know, I'd say one misconception about introverts is that introversion is synonymous with being antisocial, and it's really not that at all. So I really like people, and I love to meet new people. And I also love so much the ideas that I'm talking about that any natural aversion that I have to the spotlight, I kind of transcend because I'm excited to talk about the book.
Before you wrote the book, when you worked as a corporate lawyer on Wall Street, did you have to hide some of the introverted side?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I did to the extent that, I think all introverts and some extroverts, too, I needed to push myself sometimes beyond my natural comfort zone when it was time to make speeches or go to a cocktail party where I might really not have felt like it. But one of the things that I discovered when I was a corporate lawyer was that by using my own natural strength and my own way of being, I was able to be effective in ways that you don't necessarily think of. So it was things like, you know, I was very good at building one-on-one alliances with people behind the scenes. I was good in negotiations at forming a bond with people that was kind of more collaborative, as opposed to taking the more combative stance that you would normally associate with lawyers. And I looked around and I saw that probably more than 50% of my colleagues at my law firm, which was a Wall Street law firm that you would expect to be, you know, quite full of very bold, gregarious people, they really weren't. You know, it was full of introverts all sort of doing their own thing and doing it well.
Well, where did the negative stereotypes come from? Nerdy, neurotic, shy, loners?
Well, you know, I think it's two things. One is that if you see somebody who's not really talking and who is sometimes off by themselves, you can attribute any number of things to what's going on inside their heads. And often, you know, what's going on inside their heads is that they're just thinking. But I think we sometimes attribute more negative things.
Well, in my experience, if you ask people if they're shy, they almost always say, yes, everybody.
Right.
And they talk about how difficult it is for them to attend an event where they don't know anyone to get into a conversation. So it seems to me the real extroverts are the rare ones, the ones who can just go to a party and don't feel uncomfortable about breaking into a conversation that a group is having.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting way of putting it. And, you know, in fact, the most recent study found that a half of Americans are introverts, which is surprising.
I thought it was only a quarter. Wasn't that?
You know, there's a study before that found that it was a third. And so I always say it's a third to a half because, you know, a half just seems to me such a high number, even though that's what the study found.
But it also, isn't there a spectrum? On one day, I could be an extrovert in certain circumstances. It's required by my job. But then I can go to a party and stand on the edge of the party and hope that somebody recognizes me.
Yeah, and, you know, we really are all a kind of mishmash of the two. And even Carl Jung, the psychologist who first popularized these terms in the 1920s, even he said that there is no such thing as a pure introvert or a pure extrovert. He said that such a man would be in a lunatic asylum. So we all have different aspects to our personalities. But still, I think many of us really recognize ourselves as being one type or the other.
Jung defined introversion as a focus on one's inner psychic activity and extroversion as a concentration on the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think those are good definitions?
I like those definitions. Some contemporary psychologists don't buy that so much, and they would say instead that it really has to do with a question of how you respond to stimulation, with introverts preferring lower key, less stimulating environments, you know, including less socially stimulating ones. So they'd rather have a glass of wine with a close friend as opposed to being at a big party. And extroverts really craving large amounts of stimulation.
Where does your definition fall within the big five personality traits?
Oh, they all kind of, they all overlap with each other to some degree. You know, the big five personality definition I don't love, because I think it takes a lot of what is good in human nature and attributes it to extroversion. So things like warmth, for example, are associated with extroversion, according to the big five. And, you know, in fact, there are plenty of introverts who are quite warm, but they don't express it necessarily when they first meet you.
You include a brief quiz in your book for people to determine if they're introverts, and I was surprised to see that you consider mellow people introverted. So does that mean that most of the laid-back residents in Malibu are introverts?
You know, some yes, some no, probably. You know, I think, as you were saying, we all have different aspects to ourselves. So some extroverts cultivate the mellow side of themselves, just the way introverts learn to cultivate the more gregarious sides of themselves. You know, because I believe that part of being a good and healthy person is learning to stretch outside of your natural temperament a little bit. And, you know, as long as you're not doing it all of the time or most of the time, that ability to stretch is really useful.
Well, energy level seems to be a major aspect of all of this, isn't it? The extrovert supposedly walks into the room and is full of energy, and the introvert is a lot quieter, a lot more withdrawn.
Yeah, and this is a funny thing, because in fact, one of the primary ways of deciding, am I an introvert or an extrovert, is to ask yourself, you know, if I've been out at a social gathering, do I feel drained by that and like I need to go and recharge, or do I feel energized and like I'm up for more? And that would be an extrovert. And that sounds like it's a question of energy, and it is in some ways, but introverts will often tell you that they feel energized by activities that seem as if they're kind of sitting still and not doing much. But, you know, I think there are many ways to define energy.
Well, in all the reviews, they've talked about Bill Clinton as the ideal extrovert.
Yes.
But I've thought about that. You know, if you are a famous person and you walk into a room, you've automatically overcome all of the problems of having to connect to people. They all connect with you anyway. It doesn't really matter whether you're an introvert or an extrovert.
Well, I think what you're getting at is that you've overcome the awkwardness of having to break the ice, because they know who you are and you can be in instant conversation already. But Bill Clinton's an interesting example, because if you compare him with Al Gore, you know, his running mate, they had, according to their aides, they had very different responses to going into those kinds of political parties. And Gore would come out feeling very depleted, whereas Clinton just couldn't get enough.
And Barack Obama's been described as an introvert.
Yes, yes.
Newt Gingrich, an extrovert.
Yes, yeah.
Rick Santorum, I don't know.
I know Rick Santorum's a little harder to tell.
But you also say that Americans have undergone a shift from a culture of character to one of personality. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder how that applies to our founding fathers. I'd assume that Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, and Thomas Jefferson were all extroverts, and that George Washington probably was an introvert, but they were all equally regarded.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Jefferson. He might have been more on the introvert side of the spectrum, as Abraham Lincoln probably was too. So the idea of the culture of character is that this was a phrase that was coined by the historian Warren Sussman. And the idea was that before we became a country of big business, you know, so until the turn of the 20th century, we lived in a setting that was agricultural, where people were living in small towns side by side, working side by side with people they had known all their lives. And so they valued people based on their inner character. But then when we hit this world of big business and people were working in the cities and didn't know each other, they now had to stand out at job interviews and sales calls.
But even in the small town, I suspect that the head of the Rotary Club was the extrovert. And the person who did all the behind-the-scenes work was the introvert.
You know, I think that's probably right to some extent, but the difference was that the person doing the behind-the-scenes work would have been more regarded for all the great work that they were doing for the community in a way that they might not be today. And also, even somebody like a figure like an Abraham Lincoln was praised by Ralph Waldo Emerson for being a man who did not offend by superiority. So there seemed to be a broader range of expressions of the self that weren't all about being dazzling and now, charismatic.
Now, a listener asks, George from Brooklyn, can parents and genetics influence introversion and extroversion?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and the answer is both can. Introversion and extroversion are considered to be among the most heritable of personality traits, which is to say about 50%. So, you know, both genetics and environment really do play a role.
What about drugs? A listener asks, can antidepressants change introverts into extroverts?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I mean, you know, there to the extent that somebody is technically introverted, meaning that they're depressed and therefore don't want to leave the house or socialize, that's sort of a narrow definition of introversion. In that way, an antidepressant would make them technically more extroverted.
Well, a person wrote in, I used to work as a newspaper reporter and be extremely aggressive. Later that night, I'd stand in the corner alone at a party and be perfectly happy.
Yeah, and that's something I hear a lot. You know, I'm guessing that the person who wrote this in when they were aggressive as a reporter was playing a role to some extent, and the role was probably a little bit tiring to them.
Have the social media changed things a bit? Does the internet allow quiet people to communicate in what you call the world that can't stop talking?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think social media is really transforming the landscape. And you hear many introverts talking about being able to connect and to speak to many, to crowds of people in ways that they wouldn't be able to do in person or wouldn't be inclined to do.
Well, is the popularity of Facebook proof that the extrovert ideal has taken hold and that hundreds of millions of people are using it to publicize themselves by choice?
Well, I think it's one aspect of it. And, you know, it's funny that you talk about Facebook because that's actually a media that's been found to be more preferred by extroverts than by introverts, whereas introverts take to other forms of social media. And, you know, and I think that's because Facebook is so much about, well, how many friends do you have and how often are you putting up these status updates?
Although I would assume that Mark Zuckerberg was an introvert.
Yes,
and the people who run the outreach are the extroverts. My guest is Susan Cain. She's written a book called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. You attended a Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within seminar. Did it help you to overcome your fears, as he promises?
Well, you know, I wasn't there so much to overcome my fears.
No, but that's what he says.
That's what he says. Well, he says he's going to unleash the power within. That's what the seminar is about. And you
know, he's suggesting that you can learn to be an extrovert?
Well, he doesn't say that explicitly. And in fact, he says at one point, this isn't about introversion or extroversion. I would say the mode of being that he was presenting was a pretty extroverted mode because, you know, it involved a lot of, like we had to do some practice sessions where we would pretend to be meeting somebody at a sales call and you had to introduce yourself in as bold and as outward a way as you possibly could. And you had to pay attention to making your voice loud.
Are there some hazards to being really outgoing? Aren't extroverts more likely to be unfaithful, to be alcoholics? Wouldn't most con men be extroverts like Bernie Madoff?
Well, I mean, so I should say here, you know, most extroverts, like most introverts, live perfectly regular, nice, good lives. I think what you might be getting at is extroverts have been found to be more likely to take risks than introverts. And this can be a really good thing. You know, they're very good at seizing the day and going after a goal when they see it. But what that sometimes means is that they orient so much to their goal that they don't see warning signals along the way. So extroverts have been found, for example, to get into more car accidents, to be more promiscuous, to take much larger financial bets than introverts.
Now, when did this whole extrovert-introvert thing start? Do we go back to Dale Carnegie, the beginnings of the self-help movement?
Well, the terms themselves were first popularized by Carl Jung in the 1920s, but that was actually part of kind of a broader movement that was happening at the time where people became more interested than in personality in general, in which kinds of personalities succeed and which ones don't. And that has to do with this shift that we were just talking about from the culture of character into this new culture of personality. So it was really Carl Jung who popularized it, but that's when personality psychology was born in general.
Obviously, this is not something that's just American. The Guardian has reviewed the book. They compared it to Charles Murray's Coming Apart about the growing cultural divide between the rich and the poor as quote, an assault on the values of the dominant class. Are the dominant elite extroverts?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. To my mind, I would say it's maybe a dominant psychological class, but there are actually many introverts who are quite successful in their own right.
And so they can't feel too oppressed.
Well, I think that the sense of oppression, to use that word, has to do more with a sense of inner self. And, in fact, just last week, I was speaking at the TED conference, which is this conference that, gathers people, many of whom are the leaders of big organizations, to listen to people speak about big ideas. And I spoke about introversion. And after I spoke, all week long, people were coming up to me and telling me about their own struggles with being introverted in an extroverted world. And then I would ask them, so tell me your story. What do you do? And they would say, I'm the CEO of this company. I founded that company. So these were very, very successful in the world people, but were struggling on a kind of psychic level with these questions.
So the Guardian writer probably was a little off base when he suggested that the extrovert ideal is Darwinian and will weed out introversion as the weak trait.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's absolutely off. And in fact, one of the interesting things I learned from my book research is that there are introverts and extroverts in almost every species of the animal kingdom. And that's because the two types have very different survival strategies. So, one thrives better in one condition and one thrives better in a different one.
But
and the same thing is true of humans.
We even see that with pets. You can have two cats.
Absolutely.
One will be very extroverted, one will be very introverted.
Yeah, yeah.
Or dogs.
Right, right. It's like that for a reason.
How much emphasis do psychologists place on a person's sociability in determining his or her overall mental health?
Well, that's a tricky question.
Don't they assume that if you're really totally introverted, that you have serious problems?
Well, they sometimes make that association, usually in the more extreme cases. That's a really tricky question, though, because, there are some correlations between extroversion and happiness, and yet psychologists have also found that there are many, many happy introverts. And the happy introverts are the ones who have found ways to live their lives in accordance with their temperaments.
Well, I find this slightly insulting as an extrovert. You say that introverts are often smarter than extroverts.
No, actually, I don't say that. I say that introverts and extroverts are equally smart, and there's no difference between them in IQ level. What I say is that introverts have been found to get better grades and to often be more at the level of school kids, to be more knowledgeable about different subjects. And that the reason for that is that the very behavioral style that gets introverts into trouble sometimes, kind of sitting quietly and thinking and not saying a lot, also has the effect of helping them to learn things and to process information. But it's not a question of intelligence at all.
That explains my C average in high school. You have two sons. Are they introverts or extroverts?
A little early to tell. My sons are very young.
Susan Cain's book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, is published by Crown. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.